Vishnu Sahasranam, name 919, Kshaminam Varaha. Kshama has the meaning Kshamata means ability, competence. Kshama means tolerance. And vara means, in this context, it's taken to mean the best. So he is the best of those who are competent, and Vishnu is the best of those who are competent, and he is the best of those who are tolerant. Other common meanings of the word vara are boon, giving a blessing, and also husband. But here it's taken to mean the best. Parashabhata, continuing to expound this series of names in terms of Krishna's saving Gajendra from the clutches of the crocodile, explains that Kshaminam Varaha means he is the best in taking the burden of protecting his devotees. And Parashabhata explains that having rushed to save Gajendra from the clutches of the crocodile, it was only after seeing Gajendra safe that he, the Supreme Lord, felt relief. Gajendra was disturbed, and Bhagavan was also feeling disturbed. So only when Bhagavan saw that Gajendra is now relieved and safe, he also felt relieved, because he had taken upon himself the responsibility to protect his devotee. And he took it very seriously. In another way also, kshama, tolerance. He had to tolerate the very short time between hearing Gajendra calling and going to save him. The Lord had to tolerate that feeling of great anxiety that he felt, his extreme intense desire to protect his devotee, that anxiety. Other nuances of this name, Kshaminam Vara, in the context of the deliverance of Gajendra from the crocodile, are given by some sub-commentators on Sri Parashabhata's commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam. One is that he, in contemporary language, he didn't freak out. He kept his cool. There was an emergency. Of course, all the time, within the creation, one animal is grabbing another to eat, to kill. Probably because of the rain, they're not flying around now, But at this season, you must have seen there are so many birds flying around. Swifts, they're called in English. These kind of birds. They nest in the roof rafters. And they fly around and it looks very nice, but as they're flying, they see an insect and swallow it. So this is going on all the time, all over the creation. Jivo jivasya jivanam. One living being is eating another. Even the great elephant, especially when in the water, cannot cope with the crocodile. The crocodile wins. And even on the land, there are fights between elephants and lions, and generally the lions win, especially if there's a whole pack of lions against one elephant. Big, proud elephant. King. He's not the king of the jungle. We have the name Gajendra, the king of the elephants, but he's not the king of the jungle. That belongs to the lion, who's a much smaller creature. So this is going on all the time. One living being is catching another living being, eating. And Krishna doesn't take much notice. He lets the nature take its course. But in this case, he felt tremendous anxiety because this is not an ordinary elephant. He is my devotee who has taken that body, being cursed, just as in the case of Parikshit, Indradyumna Maharaj, who was cursed to take the form of an elephant. He could have counteracted that curse, or he could have counter-cursed, but he didn't. He accepted it. He took the body of an elephant, and this gave rise to the unusual pastime of Krishna delivering an elephant. It's quite unusual, isn't it? And we have so many great devotees, but one in the body of an elephant. We don't have so many in lower species, and especially this elephant was reciting prayers. We have one whole chapter of Bhagavatam, which in English is titled Gajendra's Prayers of Surrender. So the Lord, Kshaminam, Kshaminam, Varaha, he saw that this emergency situation. For an elephant, it's an emergency to be caught by a crocodile. But that may happen so many times. And the Lord doesn't see it as an emergency. But in this case he did, because the devotee in an elephant body called out to him, and he felt, now it is my responsibility to go and save him. But he kept calm and collected. This is important in an emergency. As firemen know, as doctors know, as lifesavers know, you know, for swimming, lifesavers, you have to keep calm. Act quickly, intelligently, and don't lose your composure. Otherwise you can't think clearly. And you can't do what needs to be done. So, the commentators say that he did not lose his composure. He remained tolerant in the sense that he kept calm. He could have destroyed the whole universe in anger. Nrsimha, the demigods were afraid that Nrsimha, he killed Hiranyakashipu, then he killed all the demons, and he was still angry, and the demigods were afraid that he'll just go on being angry and he'll destroy the whole universe. Prahlad, go and cool him down. But in this case, the Lord kept his composure when he arrived there. Going back to that quality of, he felt relief. Only when he was sure the job was done properly. The crocodile is dead. The elephant is safe. So his mood changed to one of relief. And so in both ways, Shamiram Vara, he's capable of delivering his devotee. He took the burden of protecting his devotee. He's the foremost in those who take the responsibility of protecting his devotees. There are demigods also who respond to their devotees, to prayers, but they cannot protect their devotees to the extent that Vishnu can. We know that Shiva and Krishna got into a fight over a love affair, actually. Boy and girl fell in love, and then there was a cosmic battle between Vishnu and Shiva because of some illicit sex. Of course, Aniruddha is also the personality of Godhead. But he was having a love affair, and then with Usha, and Usha's father, Barna, wasn't very happy, and the whole thing escalated until Shiva, who was protecting Barna, that was because Barna was a devotee of Shiva, and then Shiva ended up fighting with Krishna. So, who won? Well, Krishna won. And Shiva was able to protect Barna to some extent, inasmuch as Krishna didn't kill Barnasura, in deference to the fact that Barna was protected. Lord Shiva had specifically given a vow, or given his word to protect him. So he just cut off most of his arms and cut him down to size, as the saying goes in English. I don't know if you have any saying like that in Croatian. Cut someone down to size means someone is feeling very proud, as if they're this big, but actually they're only this big. So you cut them down to their actual size, means to put them in their place, is another idiomatic saying. Then the question comes, well, what about Ravana? He was also a devotee of Shiva. Why didn't Shiva protect him? Well, Shiva hadn't taken a particular vow to protect Ravana. There's that case. Ravana had taken boons whereby he thought he could protect himself, similarly with Hiranyakashipu. And also because Barna was the son of a devotee. Son of who? Anyone? Well, yeah, of course, yeah. That's Narakasura. It's also... No, Barna I'm talking about here. The son of Bali Maharaj. Is it not? Remember? Yeah. another devotee, Sri Krishna is the name of the devotee, who comments on this and relates another incident wherein the Bhagavan was full of anxiety for the welfare of his devotee. This regards Lord Rama when he came with his contingent of monkey soldiers to the parapets of the citadel of Lanka. In other words, they're on Lanka Island, but they're outside the city, which is fully walled city. And all of a sudden, they saw Ravana. He was just looking out from the edge of the city. And Sugriva, feeling such anger at Ravana, immediately jumped into the city, attacked Ravana, had a fight with him, knocked 10 crowns off his 10 heads, and jumped back. He didn't kill him. That job was left for Rama. But Ram, after Sugriva came back, chided him. Do you know what chided means? It means to gently chastise, to tell someone off in another way. He said that Rama said to him, "You shouldn't take such risks. You're the head of our army, head of the monkey army, and you shouldn't have taken such a risk. I was in great anxiety all the time that you were fighting, which way it would go, it wasn't sure. Ravana is, after all, extremely powerful. He was taken by surprise, so he was at a disadvantage in that way, but Rama said to Sugriva that at that time I felt so much for your safety that I was so much concerned with you that your safety was more important to me than even that of Lakshman or Sita. Such is the intensity with which he takes the responsibility for the safety of his devotees." Shankaracharya gives various interpretations for this name, Shaminambara. One of them is that yogis are supposed to have tolerance. Yes, Samatvam yoga uchyate, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Yoga means, Krishna says, to have the quality of equanimity. And equanimity means to be equipoised in happiness and distress, heat and cold, gain and loss. In other words, whatever happens, a yogi just remains calm and detached. So Shankara gives the meaning, kshamavatam yoginam kshaminam varaha. He is the best among those yogis who have forbearance, tolerance. Kshama can be translated as forbearance, tolerance, they're synonyms. Whatever happens, he's detached, in the sense that he's detached from the universe. I was giving that example. One lion kills an elephant. Or maybe an elephant kills a lion, or a swift catches an insect. And so many things are going on, he remains detached. He only intervenes at certain times, but otherwise everything goes on and he remains aloof. At the same time, another meaning that Shankaracharya gives is Prithivyadinam bharadharakarnam srishta iti kshamirnam varaha. He is the foremost among all those who bear the burden such as that of the earth, etc. Those who take the weight of the planets. So we may say that only Anantashesh bears the weight of the planets, of the universe. So he's got to be the best because he's the only one. If you're the only one, then you're the best in that category and the worst. So who else bears the burden of the universe except Anantashesh? Anyone? The Diggajas, the elephants, they also bear the burden. Then there's the turtle, the Kurma, and underneath them all is Anantashesh. So he's the best. Whoops. What else? Taking kshama to mean kshamata, ability. Shankaracharya also, these two meanings. He's the best of tolerant yogis, and he's the best of those who bear burdens such as the earth. The two meanings given by Shankaracharya. Then another one he gives, taking kshama to mean kshamata, ability, strength. He says, he is the best among those who are strong, which should be self-evident. In another sense of tolerance, the Shankaracharya gives the quotes from the beginning of Ramayana, in which the qualities of Lord Ram are listed, or some of the qualities, because he has unlimited qualities. So Shankaracharya quotes from Ramayana, Kshamaya prithivi samaha. In tolerance, Lord Ram is like the earth. So that's invoking the earth to say that he bears the burden of the earth, but at the same time, he is as tolerant as the earth. The earth is generally invoked as an example of great tolerance because uncomplainingly she accepts the burden of so many mountains, so many continents, and especially at the present time, people, they mistreat the earth, they unwantonly exploit the resources of the earth, but the earth is the very symbol of patience. But one thing the earth says that she cannot tolerate. What is that? Do you know from Bhagavatam? The liar. She doesn't like liars. Ramachandra is similarly patient. But that doesn't mean that he's unlimitedly patient. Because unlimited patience is also not any good quality, has to be seen in context. Any quality, whatever it may be, can be turned to a bad quality if it's not applied properly. It's not in all circumstances. Any quality, if you think of it, we're just talking about lying. Sometimes lying is required. It's sometimes better to lie than not lie. There's an example of that in the Mahabharata, as well as I told this story so many times. Maybe some of you know it. If you lie to save someone's life, to protect someone from murderer. Did you see that person? A gang of murderers is chasing someone. Did you see that person? No. You did, but you lie. Better to lie in such a circumstance. So lying, stealing, cheating, even justice. Justice, it may be according to the letter of the book that this person should be punished. But we often see that. There's the letter of this law and the spirit of the law. And many times the magistrate, if it's a first-time offender, they'll excuse, even though they could punish. Srila Prabhupada gave an example in his own life. He had to go to court because he had a license for purchasing alcohol for producing medicines, but his company had taken the amount of alcohol and some of it they were selling on the side. That's why there's a license for consumption. And so Prabhupada, I went to the court and I said, yes, as the owner of the company, it's my responsibility. I accept that. But I didn't know about this. It must be my manager's fault and I'll be more careful in future. And they excused him. So by justice, he could or should have been punished. But you have to see also, in such a case, to punish him would have been correct according to the book, but a travesty of justice. He's most patient, Lord Rama, Lord Krishna. He's very patient with the evil people. Sometimes it's asked, why did Krishna allow Hiranyakashipu to torture Prahlad so long before he came? Why does he allow bad people to go on with their bad things? So one answer that can be given in relation to him being the most patient and most tolerant is that he doesn't immediately punish. He gives a chance. He just gives a chance. You can rectify yourself. Just like Prahlad was preaching to Hiranyakashipu more than once and giving him instruction. So Hiranyakashipu had an opportunity to rectify himself. When he didn't, when it's seen he's totally incorrigible, and particularly to fulfill the word of his devotee, Prahlad, is your Vishnu here in this pillar? Yes. Then he appeared. So that's one reason why he doesn't immediately stop the bad people. Gives them some time to rectify themselves. When it's seen that there's no other way, that they're just not going to, no sign of any improvement, then only his patience. He's the best of those who are patient. Another way he's the best of those who's patient is that his patience is not unlimited. Someone who tolerates everything, always, in all circumstances, that's not a very good example of tolerance, because something shouldn't be tolerated. So, tolerance, the best of those who are tolerant means he has the discrimination to understand what and when and who to tolerate. Another major dimension of his tolerance is his willingness to forgive the transgressions of his devotees. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak. Sadhureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hi saha. The most hated verse in Bhagavad Gita, that we should never forgive anyone who's done anything wrong. But that's not Krishna's policy. If a devotee has done something wrong, we should not tolerate. But Krishna does. So that's another aspect of his tolerance. Another commentator has said that he himself, especially during his avatar as Rama, willingly accepted various difficulties, privations. He went through so much suffering, apparent suffering, because of course it's all ananda chinmaya rasa, spiritual bliss. But he took that to demonstrate so many reasons why he did that, to demonstrate how one should follow, one should observe dharma, even in great difficulty. Srila Prabhupada, in one of his commentaries, one of his purports, following previous acharyas, says that by his avatar as Rama, he demonstrated how troublesome it is to be attached to a woman. I didn't say it. Then, what trouble arises from that? Then, again, Lord Rama and Sita, the Kakasura, the demon in the form of a crow, attacked Sita. He should have been killed, he deserved to be killed, but Lord Ram just punished him mildly, and both Sita was pleading for mercy, and the crow took shelter at her. He was willing to punish the crow, but when the crow took shelter at Sita's feet, then he just very mildly punished him. So there is some punishment, but a lot of tolerance also. Another great example of the Lord's tolerance, compared even to that of Brahma and Shiva, is in the incident of Bhrigu Muni, who mentally insulted Lord Brahma and invoked his wrath, verbally insulted Shiva and invoked his wrath, and physically kicked, insulted Vishnu, and Vishnu in response begged forgiveness from him, that, oh, I'm sorry, my chest is so hard, you must have hurt your foot. So that is an example of how he is the best of those who are tolerant. Kshaminam Vara. Baladev Vidyabhushan, in his commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam, in this series of names, Baladev Vidyabhushan is referring to the incident wherein Durvasa Muni, at the request of Duryodhana, went with 60,000 disciples, went to the forest where Yudhishthira was encamped. He went just at the time after Draupadi had finished taking her meal, which meant there was the Akshaya Patra, the unlimited pot, would not produce any more food that day. And specifically at that time, at the behest of Duryodhana, Durvasa arrived and said, well, here I am, and here are my disciples, and I know you're a very good host, so you can... Yudhishthira was obliged to invite him for lunch. The other thing is there's no possibility for that, so that was Duryodhana's plot to make Durvasa angry at Yudhishthira and curse him. However, Krishna intervened and made Durvasa and his disciples feel so full that they when they were bathing in the river, that they didn't come back to take a meal. So in this respect, Baldev Vidyabhushan in his commentary says that it is the tolerance of Krishna that he forgave Durvasa Muni. He didn't inflict any kind of punishment on him whatsoever. He just, well, that's Durvasa. He's like that. And he just tolerated it. So that is how he is Shaminam Vara. Now Marava states repeatedly that in all the universe, no one is on the same level as he. Even four-headed Brahma, who by the grace of Bhagavan has got superior knowledge, he has knowledge that is superior to others. He's most intelligent, but even he is unable to describe in full even one of the great qualities of the Supreme Lord, the auspicious qualities, Kalyana Gunas, which define the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is just one of his qualities, Kshamirnam Vara. One of his qualities, well, from this one name we can derive two qualities. But there's so many examples. We can find in our own lives also. How many times does Krishna forgive us? At least I can say myself that so many times I do what I shouldn't do, and I should be punished, thrown out, trampled. But Krishna kindly lets me go on attempting to chant his holy names. One of which is Kshamirnam Vara, the best of those who forgive. Of course, we shouldn't take advantage of his lenience and think we can do whatever we like. Then that becomes offensive. Okay, I'll finish. Your prediction was correct. The storm didn't last very long. Hare Krishna. So the festival is over. Now it's time for cleanup. So get to work. Hare Krishna. Many thanks to all of you for making this festival possible, and of course especially to Murari Gupta Prabhu and his good wife, year after year after year, hosting this festival, working hard, putting in their holiday from work. It's their holiday, and they're working harder than at other times. Welcoming us all. So thank you very much to all of you. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.